How to Get Filthy Rich in Rising Asia by Mohsin Hamid, chapters 7, 8, and 9. The question we're going to be focusing on starts in chapter 7. The question is it possible for a person in our main character's position to find a work-life balance? And why is he, our main character, unable to declutter his mind? With each chapter, chapter 7 being Be Prepared to Use Violence, chapter 8, Befriend a Bureaucrat, and chapter 9, Patronize the Artists of War, we see that every chapter, our main character's life is becoming more affluent. He's becoming who he wants to become. But with each step comes more adversity. There are more problems. There are different problems. There's problems that he would have never dreamed of having. In many ways, he would have wished to have at different stages of his life. But as he becomes more powerful, chapter 7 centers around a run-in with a henchman of a rival business from a rival clan who's sending a message, basically for our main character to stop progressing, stop his growth, which we know is not possible. It's very hard to cap ambition. We've talked about that in class, the idea of when is it time to stop? Not easy. Human nature tells us in a lot of ways, our feelings traditionally push us in a direction to keep going. More is more. Less is usually not less. Less is usually not better. And while our society drives us towards that, personally, sometimes we can see the fact that that balance gets shifted in one direction, and that's when people suffer. So with this situation with the gunman and security being a question, his safety being in question, he has to shift his focus. And we also learn in chapter 7 that his new wife, who's 20, our main character in this chapter is 40. And while their relationship at first starts off very physical and passionate, quickly shifts itself to a relationship of convenience and a lot of hurt feelings. Our main character not able to be both a family man and a businessman. Now, he did have a upbringing where both his parents were in the picture. Both his parents had a positive relationship. But he did not see them in this set of circumstances. He did not grow up with the circumstances that he finds himself in today. So while his experience of seeing a couple interact with each other, being his parents, and his father being with their mother, okay, his wife, until her last breaths, is going to be something for him to aspire to. We don't see our main character reflecting on or trying to in any way mirror that in his own life. Instead, we have a very business-driven main character whose wife seems necessary, but ultimately secondary to what is going on in the day-in, day-out endeavors of his life. The situation with the henchmen and with the other clan is easily, not necessarily easily, but it's dealt with. And the henchman himself is shot and killed. And over an agreement, the whole situation seems to slip away. But it is now established that this growth situation is going to be met with violence. And that violence in return is going to be the answer. Maybe not all the time, but at least the threat of violence has to be present. But it adds another element to our main character with his problems that he's dealing with. And that work-life balance we see is out of whack. And we also understand that he's probably not even looking at it in a way that he sees it as a problem until it's too late. His inability to remove himself from his job. Because his job has been everything to him. Remember, the title of the book is How to Get Filthy Rich. We're not just trying to be successful. We're not trying to be comfortable. We're trying to be filthy rich. We're trying to be the best of the best from a financial perspective. So chapter 7 consistently offers us this concept of how our main character is seeing life. And in both 7, 8, and 9, we see the parallels to the pretty girl, which we'll talk about here in a minute. But I want us to remember both of them are evolving. And as they evolve, our main character cannot overcome where he came from, the lack of experience he has seeing firsthand how his parents were raised, how he was originally raised, and how that impacts his behavior. Now, when we talk about the pretty girl in all three of these chapters, we see her evolving. She's a celebrity chef, basically. Then later on, she's going to move on in chapter 8. She's going to now own a boutique. And that boutique is then growing and evolving in chapter 9. We see all the steps along the way. Comfort coming into the equation for the first time for her. We see the fact that her life, while exciting, she's decided that her celebrity status needs to be fostered and further developed to guarantee her financial comfort and security moving forward. All the while she's doing this while having to overcome being a woman in a society where being a woman isn't easy. That's one thing when we talk about comparing the pretty girl to the main character. He is overcoming his past. He's overcoming his upbringing. He's making moves. But he's never had to overcome his gender, which we see in subtle ways throughout this section. So the work-life balance of both characters, the pretty girl and our main character, seems to be out of whack. But because the pretty girl isn't married and because the pretty girl doesn't have as much responsibility, her social life is intertwined and mixed with her professional life. Whereas we see the driven, dog-like behavior of our main character has gotten him what he's wanted. But is he experiencing it in a way that's going to bring any joy or happiness? And we only start to see that through the role of his son. Once his son's old enough to really be interacting with him, and there's the reference to the fact that the birth of this child was very challenging for his wife. And that's a moment where we can look at our main character and be disappointed in him. Because at no point in time does he act as a sympathetic character to his wife. And the damage that she had, now he's able to pay for surgeries and pay for everything that goes along with it. He makes her feel very isolated. And we really want to focus on the fact that at that point, their relationship is broken. There's no coming back from the isolation she felt after having the child and the surgeries and rehab that was needed to fix and to correct, to make her comfortable again with her body. Now, as we look at this is a failure on our main character. And all while this is happening, we start to deal with this idea of the bureaucrat, where the next step for our main character is to move into government contracts, where the money truly will be. With dealing with a government that can move things, change things, alter things for their benefit. The conversation with the bureaucrat focusing on these concepts of people coming from nothing to be successful, but the wealthy being considered thieves. The bureaucrats themselves having the soft hands of people who never have done anything difficult in their lives. This weird social circle that we're seeing, this environment where the strong have to gain their way to the top only to be secondary to people because of their status financially or their status because of family bloodlines are above them. Just because that's the way the system has worked. But we have to ask ourselves after reading chapter 8, what does it mean to be content? We have not seen that at any point in time with our main character. He's not negative, but we also see his progression's always the next step. And while he is seeing the problems along the way, he's also, we don't see the fact that there's enjoyment. There's reflection that starts popping up in chapter 9 where he can recognize how far he's come. But that those ideas, that mindset, still is limited by the fact that he needs to think about the next step. What is coming up the line? And what does he have to protect him and his people and his company and eventually his mansion, as we see in chapter 9, from? So what lessons are learned by our main character during his middle age? One thing to think about is this idea of happiness. Is happiness ever changing? Or is it just one ideal? He seems actually happy with dealing with his son, and he tries to piece his family back together through the relationship with the son. But as we see in chapter 9, as we hit another time jump, that his wife is going to leave him once the son is of the age of an adult. And the family unit that he now seeks, it wasn't rooted in anything. There was no foundation. It was a marriage that came about through an arrangement. But the issues that our main character has with his wife are his own fault. She has tried, he has not. And while he's never been outright mean to her, his neglect has driven them in a path where there's no return. We see that in chapter 9, where they're living in different wings of a mansion. The business has been ever successful. But he's not going to be a character that's going to have a normal family life. He might have a good relationship with his son, but his relationship with his wife will never be returning. So the bureaucrat ultimately works the situation out with our main character. And now as he enters into this agreement, it's truly going to be substantial for the business. And that's why when we get to chapter 9, he now has a mansion. He now has armed guards stationed around a fortified piece of property. So we talk about happiness and being an ideal, or is it ever changing? I want us to think about these two chapters. Because on one hand, we have happiness when he was poor. He was on the way up. There are moments probably he was happy. But as life has given him more things, as he's earned more things along the way, happiness seems to be altered by the experiences being lived in the moment. Certain things are no longer good enough. Certain things are no longer acceptable. That's why it's so important when we get to chapter 9, we start talking about information and the role that information plays in developing our sense of self and our ability to connect with others. On top of that, the connection between information, age, and security as well. The more we're able to learn, the more we're able to connect with other people in many ways. But what we do with that information, do we use it to weaponize our intellect? Do we use that information to grow and develop ourselves? And there's a lot of deep questions asked at the beginning of chapter 9 about the role of information. But we also see in chapter 9 that as the information that is acquired over time by our main character, as with the pretty girl, both result in heightened security. We see that our main character has reached a status that armed guards at all times, not just at the office, at his facility, but now at his home. And we see mentioning that there's also heavy security as far as the apartment itself, with a security system being used by the pretty girl. It also speaks to an underlying message that there has been a revolution in the country that they are living in. There's one line mentions that there's been a change in independence. So if there's social unrest to this order, then we have to remember the fact that our main character hasn't been touched by that. His business has moved forward, and most likely, as we've seen with the government contracts, he's associated himself with the right people. But with his information, with his data, as it's grown, he himself has felt the need to secure it, to protect it, to guard it. There's probably situations he would have put himself in earlier in the text that we've seen him actually in, where security wasn't an option, where he's willing to take the risk. But at this point, you have to ask yourself, what is he willing to risk? So the role of information is key. It tells us a lot about ourselves, about how we connect with others, about our place in the world. But it also is going to establish our wants and our needs. Who do we need to be moving forward? Who we want to be? Who is our main character at this point? Because you could argue that he is filthy rich at this point. And that last piece of it, the contracts with the government, even though there were going to be problems, it wasn't going to be easy. We're dealing with water and water contamination and machinery in multiple phases. Remember, he comes up in this phase 10. Okay, that means this is a ongoing project with heavy Western influences, which comes up also in this chapter. But let's remember as we wrap this up today that can we, as a society, when we look at this text and we read it both as a direct self-help book, but also kind of as a humorous tongue-in-cheek self-help book, what lessons are being taught by our main character? What can we take away from the work-life balance, from the idea of what does it mean to be content? The idea of relationship building, the power of information, its connection with experience, but also the element of what we do with information once we have it. We're going to continue this conversation over the next couple of weeks. We have one section left to go with chapter 10, 11, and 12. But as we've seen the growth and development of our character from a professional standpoint, I want us to center in these last three chapters about how he has developed as a person. Are we seeing that at all? Is it present at all? And if not, what does that say about how to get filthy rich in rising Asia?